I think we're all sort of getting used to the idea of recycling and reusing. Maybe something that some of us struggle with, and we just try to work out what goes in what bin and what can go where, and we try to do our bit with reusing and recycling. I heard a lovely quip during the week. Is supposedly of a man who said he used to work in a shoe recycling factory, but he gave it up because it was soul-destroying work. Ooh. Recycling. It's just part of life now, and we are gradually getting used to it, and it does become more and more normal for us. It's using something that would otherwise end up in the rubbish heap, in the landfill. Reusing, recycling. And we are getting better at it with things. But sadly, we are slower to get better at it with each other because we are very quick to assign each other to landfill and to the rubbish heap. To press that button that says, I am no longer your friend. To turn our backs, to walk away. We're very quick to do it. And thankfully, that is not the case with God. Thankfully, God does not press the unfriend button. Thankfully, he does not turn his back upon us. He still reaches out to us in grace in Jesus Christ. Last week, as we looked at Jonah chapter 2, we left Jonah lying on a beach in a pool of vomit. And there's not very much hope in that. And apart from God, there is no hope. Apart from God, Jonah has no future in front of him. Apart from God, Jonah is just going to stay on that beach in the rubbish heap, in the landfill. And then at the beginning of Jonah chapter 3, we hear these beautiful words. Now put yourself, if you can, in Jonah's position without the vomit, but you put yourself in his position, and you have disobeyed God. You have been through a storm which you realize God brought about. You have ended up in the sea. You have ended up in the stomach of a great fish and then spewed out on this beach. And you wonder what will be next. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Jonah, you're not on the rubbish heap. Jonah, you're not left hopeless. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Can you imagine how amazing, how grace-filled those words must have seemed to Jonah? Can you imagine how his heavy heart must have jumped because God spoke to him a second time? The God of another chance. And as you read through scriptures, it's not just about Jonah. It's about Paul, this fanatical persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ, who is brought to his knees, and then God gives him another chance, and he becomes Paul the Apostle. It's about Peter, who at the time of the crucifixion of Jesus said, Jesus, I don't even know him. I've never heard of him. I have nothing to do with him. And walks away and hears the cock crow and his heart broken. And yet God gives him another chance. Peter, feed my sheep. It's about David. A man, we're told in Scripture, a man after God's own heart, but a man who was responsible for murder, who committed adultery, who just got so many things wrong, and yet this God of another chance speaks to David, and he's still that man after God's own heart. The God of another chance. The truth of the gospel is that God's grace is greater than any sin you could commit. David knew that. King David knew that. The horrendous sins in his background David knew that God's grace was greater. Paul was to realize that in spite of all that he had done to attack the church of Jesus Christ, God's grace was greater. Peter was to realize that in spite of the fact that he had walked away from Jesus, his grace is greater. And Jonah, as he lies on that beach, filthy and smelly, must have known God's grace is greater. Jesus is bigger than any mistake you and I can ever make. God's grace is greater than any sin we could commit. So God speaks again to Jonah. And it's interesting, he doesn't just pat him on the back and says, there, there, Jonah, never worry, just let's get on with life. Not only does he speak to him again, but he uses him again. This man who had run the opposite direction to Tarshish rather than go to Nineveh, God uses him again. Saved to serve, not saved to rest on his laurels or his chrysanthemums. Saved to serve. God has called Jonah once more so that he may serve him. And here it is. Jonah, you know what my message is. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. It's an amazing thing that God trusts Jonah with that message. Even though Jonah had got it spectacularly wrong, God in his grace offers him another chance and trusts him with this message. And Jonah goes. He obeys, although as we'll see later on, he does so reluctantly. Proclaim to the city of Nineveh the message I give you. He doesn't say, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell them what they need to hear, what you think they need to hear. He doesn't say, go to Nineveh and tell them what you think they want to hear, Jonah. He simply says, Jonah, go and give them the message that I give you. And that was the work of a prophet. Sometimes we think that a prophet is someone who will tell what will happen in the future. But all through the Old Testament, the work of the prophet was simply, thus says the Lord, this is what God says. This is the message that God has for you. Jonah, go to Nineveh and proclaim the message that I give you. It's a challenge to us in the church. Because so often we think that we have the answer to everyone's problem. We think that we have the answer to all of the ills of society. So we will stand up and tell people what they need to hear because we've worked it out. Or perhaps more dangerously, we will say what we think people want to hear so that we can keep them sweet, so that we can win them over, so that we may not just upset them too much. We'll say what we think they need to hear. The work of the prophet, the work of the church, the work of those called to follow Jesus Christ is not to say what we think. It is to proclaim the message that God gives us. May not be popular, may not be easy, may not be comfortable, but that's our role. Not simply to pat people on the head and so they hear what we think they want to hear, but so they hear what God needs them to hear. And here's the message. Jonah goes to Nineveh and simply says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. It's not a comfortable thing to hear. This foreigner coming into Nineveh and saying, 40 more days and your time's up. Not comfortable to hear. And yet listen what happens. When God's prophet is obedient, the people of Nineveh believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. From the greatest to the least, even the very king of Nineveh put on sackcloth. to demonstrate that not only had they heard what God was saying to them, but they were responding to it. They were being obedient. And the Bible simply says that God saw how they had changed, that they'd given up their evil ways, given up their violence. Violence was just one of the marks of the people of Nineveh, a violent society. And from the king down, they give up their evil, their violence, in response to God's message. And we read that God had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. He responded in mercy to Nineveh's repentance. Justice would have demanded that they got what they deserved. That's what justice is. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Lovely story about a lady who was getting on in years who decided that she would have her photograph taken professionally so there would always be a picture of her for others to see and enjoy. And so she got herself ready, and well, the phrase mutton dressed as lamb probably would cover the approach to getting herself ready for the photograph. She went into the photographer's studio, she sat in a chair, and she looked at him and says, "I hope you're going to do me justice." And he looked at her and said, "It's mercy you need, dear, not justice." Justice and mercy, these gifts of God. Justice is when we get what we deserve. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. God looks in mercy upon the people of Nineveh, and they don't get what they deserve. God is at work, transforming lives. Jonah knew it. Jonah, lying in this mess on the beach, God picks him up, gives him another chance, and moves him from disobedience to obedience. Moves him from running away to running towards God. God is at work in Jonah's life, changing him. He uses Jonah, this reluctant prophet, to proclaim his message to the people of Nineveh. And he moves them from evil and violence to repentance. He moves them from idolatry to understanding who the living God was. God is at work amongst the people of Nineveh. And here's the good news: God has not changed. God has not changed. God is still in the business of transforming lives, still in the business of moving us from hopelessness to hope, from idolatry to faith, from evil to repentance. God is still at that work in our lives. Often we wonder, why doesn't God bring this to an end? We look at the world around us and we think, why doesn't God just draw a line under this and stop this? Peter helps us understand this when he simply says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God could draw a line and just stop it, but how many would perish because they have never come to repentance? The Bible says it's God's heart, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is still in the business of changing, of transforming us. The Bible simply says the wages of sin is death. That's what awaits us. That's the judgment that is given to us in justice. Just as the people of Nineveh were warned, keep going this way, and in 40 days you're overturned, the Bible is quite clear. The wages of sin is death. That's justice. But here's mercy. The second part of that verse simply says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God sent Jonah into Nineveh to proclaim his word so the people could turn and not perish, but come to repentance. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world so that we would not face the justice of judgment, but rather have the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is patient with you, with me. God has shown you and me mercy in Jesus Christ. God is ready to lift you up, clean you off, and trust you again, no matter what has been going on. No matter how badly you think you have let God down, no matter how far, far short of his standard you think you've come, the good news of the gospel is that God offers you another chance in Jesus Christ. Reaches out to you with his grace to show you mercy and not justice. Justice was done when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you so that you could experience his mercy through faith in him. This is the God who calls again and again. The God who picks us up, cleans us off, trusts us again and again. The God who offers you eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. When God calls, don't put your fingers in your ears. Don't walk the other way. Don't ignore him. Receive all that he would give you and experience his grace and his enduring love. Take a moment to pray together, and then our boys and girls will leave for Sunday school. Lord, for the kindness and the patience and the mercy you have shown us in Jesus, we are deeply thankful. And Lord, may our thankfulness show itself as we turn to you, as we seek your grace. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to serve you better where you have placed us, to be obedient to you in all things. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our children.